You have power. The power to save lives. The power to defeat illnesses. The power to use games for good. You can be a hero for local sick and injured kids through Extra Life, a 24-hour gaming marathon that supports a local Children's Miracle Network hospital in your community. Join 50,000 gamers from all across the world as we battle the enemy, illnesses, and injuries facing local kids.
Play games! Heal kids!
Find out more at extra-life.org.
It's the Geek Cave Podcast's live annual Extra Life Marathon for Children's Miracle Network. Donate now to help your local Children's Miracle Network hospital at geekcavepodcast.com. Now, here are your hosts, Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
That's right. This is the annual Children's Miracle Network Marathon Extra Life Geek Cave. This is the fourth, fifth year we're doing it. We've lost count because we've lost so much sleep. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
Justin, comics, go.
Fine. I just got settled, but fine. I'll get up and leave. So, yes.
Welcome. We are recording, right? We're not just making this up. Like, that's actual. Man, I'd hate to have to do this again. I'm so tired.
so very tired. Oh. So, how's everybody doing?
Great.
Awesome. Great. Darren?
It appears doing that we're getting ready to be playing some Super Mario Maker 2.
Yeah, that's right. We're continuing something that we did last time, whereas we're going to be playing while the segments go on.
Oh,
this
yay.
Is no doubt a terrible idea.
It's a horrible idea.
It's a horrible idea, and most like, hey, at least this year we're playing a game that I might stand a chance at.
I can't believe we're doing
you
this
might,
again.
And I hope you do.
For those who don't know, last year we played Doom.
It was great. What are you talking about?
And when I was given the controls, it was not so great.
You got the control, what, second or third?
Third.
So he was the furthest into the game, never touched the controls before, and we're just like, and here you go. Go kill some demons.
I think you did pretty good.
Yeah, eventually I got out of that room. And
well, so should we have Justin start with the controller since it's his segment?
How about you start with the controllers?
You know what? No. I think Justin should go ahead and start with the control because generally the first thing he does is ask if anybody else has news.
This is true. Does anybody else have any news?
I do.
News? No. I got a review.
What are we doing?
we're playing.
No. I know. I mean, so...
Going to play.
Play,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey. Let's do Course World. Let's just find some random things that... No, it's okay. One of the people in the audience is telling us not to do that, but we don't listen. Just go to Endless Challenge. We're just going to pick random levels, and we're just going to see what happens. But yes, while Justin does that, and if you would, please follow along on our Twitch channel.
New game.
Twitch.tv/GeekCavePodcast. You can also find a link to donate there. And if not, GeekCavePodcast.com/Extra Life. We're raising money for CMN hospitals through Extra Life. And we're going to be playing along for about 90 minutes or so. Once the recorded portion of the podcast is over, we asked you to join us on Twitch because we're also going to be playing Jackbox. Yes, I do have some news.
Always the consummate professional,
man.
Darren.
Yeah. Well, what do you want? Hey, award-winning broadcast journalist. Anyway,
sure. Rub it in.
Well, none of them listen. So you're familiar with John Kent from Super Sons. You know, the son of Superman and Lois Lane from another world merged into this world, yada yada.
Yeah.
Great, great character. And then they ended up putting him in the future for a while and making him an adult. And now he's going to be part of the Legion of Superheroes. Well, now there's a new rumor that John is actually going to replace Superman at some point.
Really?
In DC's ongoing comics line. Let me just try to find this. This was from Bleeding Cool. And as you know, recently, Brian Michael Bendis did what Brian Michael Bendis usually does. Yeah. And aged
Unless
John.
He's listening, in which case...
Hi.
Yeah.
Come and defend yourself on the podcast, sir.
Yeah, so... So DC...
Man, you will flip your stuff if he does.
Man, DC's Generation 4 timeline reveals Jonathan Kent is going to be aged again during his trip to the future with the Legion of Superheroes. This was something, this like an official document from DC that got leaked to the internet. And what's going to happen is John is eventually, according to this, at least probably for like a few months in the Superman books, going to replace Clark as Superman.
Because reasons.
The dad's going to replace the...
No, John, like the kid John.
Oh, kid John.
Kid John, like 11-year-old.
Sorry, I got like really confused. I was like, but that guy is not Kryptonian.
No. No, 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 half Kryptonian John.
Okay, half Kryptonian John.
John the second? John Kent the second?
Okay.
Does that work? And now this is something that Bendis has done before. You might know about Miles Morales, another young character that was created to basically replace Peter Parker in the Marvel Universe, essentially the Ultimate Universe. And that's pretty much it as far as the what we know. John did debut back in 2015 during the Convergence storyline. If you missed that, remember we had author Jeff Keane on to talk to us about that. I only have one other piece of news, and that has to do with the merry band of mutants over at Marvel. The X-Men. X-Men number one, as you know, just recently came out. It's being written by Jonathan Hickman. A lot of people love Jonathan Hickman's work, so they're really excited about this. Powers of X and House of X, otherwise known as Hoxpox by fans, apparently, just wrapped up. So they've rebooted the X-Men, more or less. The X-Men are living on their own island now. It's seen as kind of like a paradise for mutants. And if you watch the 90s show at all, well, then you know that there's some...
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant like the sequel to the 70s show.
No. Then you know that there's something going on with like Jean Grey and Cyclops and Wolverine a little bit. You know, there's this triangle of emotions here. Well, it takes an interesting twist in X-Men number one. You get to see a layout of the new X-Mansion as sorts, and all of the rooms, you see their blueprints, but Cyclops and Wolverine have rooms on either side of Jean's room, and they each have direct access to her room without having to go into the hallway.
Of course.
So there's
what an amazing.
Yeah. So there's little rumors that like maybe there's something going on there. But then we find in
Bow Chicka Wow Snicked.
But then we find more. Mr. Sinister had
what? Holy hell is this?
Just run.
Just run. Just run. Just run.
Don't jump. Just run.
Yeah. Just hold. Yeah. Just go for it. Okay. Maybe not. I think it said just run.
It said keep run.
All right.
Probably from the very beginning, you're probably supposed to run so that it...
All right, I'll try while I'm talking about this. So Mr. Sinister was talking... hey, nice. I'm just killing it right now. It's one of those auto run... Not auto, but you just have to keep running during Super Mario Maker. But... This is really hard to concentrate.
Yes, it is.
Mr. Sinister had a file of secrets... on all of the X-Men. And here's one entry. He's the best there is at what he does. She's married with a kid, and the husband knows what's going on, but who is he to point the finger? So apparently there's some polyamorous stuff going on between Cyclops and Jean and Wolverine, and I'm sure that'll last, and no one will ever get upset about that. That's pretty much all I have as far as news goes.
Nice. All right. Chad, what do you got?
A review.
Cool. Lay it on us.
All right. I just finished reading Superman Year One this past week.
Yeah?
It's weird.
All right, that's the Frank Miller one, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure that it's good, but I'm pretty sure...
It's weird.
But I'm pretty sure that it's not bad.
So, do tell.
So I think the hardest hurdles that it has to cross are that Frank Miller has not been viewed as a Superman fan by most comics people. So every change he makes, every attitude... Every power, even the implied tone of voice for Clark Kent is put under greater scrutiny than, say, a Mark Waid or a Dan Jurgens would have had to face. The other hurdle is Superman sexing it up with a mermaid. That took a bit of getting used to. Anyway, if it shows up on Comixology or someplace that you don't have to specifically pay for it. or if you have a friend who already owns it, then by all means, read it, but don't expect it to be world-shatteringly great. It's serviceable. It's weird. It's different. It's got some really cool, interesting moments. But it's not really a great comic, in my opinion. And my opinion counts about as much as anyone's.
Well, I do appreciate your opinion on a lot of things. So, the Goomba is a zombie. Sorry, folks. I got distracted by...
We're playing
Mario Maker. And there's a little thing on the screen that just says, the Goomba is a zombie. And yeah, I could have told you that.
Yeah, you can leave little helpful notes. Helpful question mark. Notes for other players.
Huh. Okay, anyway. All right, so, anything else?
Nope, I'm good.
That was what I had.
All right, then I guess we're going to move on to the long box.
All right.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's long box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
There's a long box?
Yes, there always has been a long box. Yeah. Well, for the most part.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Bring it.
What you got? All right.
So, as tradition with the last few Extra Lives, rather than reviewing a character or storyline, I'm going to talk about somebody who actually works in the comic book industry. I've discussed Bill Finger. I've discussed... I think I did Dan Didio one time. But anyway, semi-influential people in the comic book world. This year, I'm going to talk about Trina Robbins, or she was born Trina Perlson. She's an American cartoonist, and she was actually the first woman to draw Wonder Woman.
Nice. Yay!
This didn't happen till the 1980s.
Boo!
But she's still active. She's kind of a kick-ass person.
Yay!
So she was born in 1938, and she's was active.
She's older than Wizard of Oz.
There you go.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah. She's been an active member of science fiction fandom in the 50s and 60s, and her illustrations have gained her Hugo-nominated awards. You know, she's very well versed in her awards in this. In 1969, she designed the costume for Vampirella. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of childhood memories based around that. But I digress. In the 1970s, she worked in a feminist underground newspaper, It Ain't Me, Babe. And the same year, along with fellow artist Barbara Mendez, established the first all-woman comic book, the one-shot It Ain't Me, Babe comics. Sorry, folks. I'm kind of doing this on the fly while trying to watch Darren.
Still alive.
You know, the advantage of watching Darren do these is that I won't ever to play, and neither will you.
That's true.
Because this is the easy mode.
Awesome. She was also involved in the comics anthology Women's Comics, sorry, W-I-M-M-E-N, Women's.
Women's.
Women's Comics.
Women's.
Which the first one featured Robbins' Sandy Comes Out, the first ever comic strip featuring an out lesbian.
Huh.
She's very proactive in her social justices, and I approve of this. As I said, she was the first woman to draw Wonder Woman. She'd been a long admirer of the character. Her official affiliation with it happened in 1986 at the conclusion of the first volume of the Crisis on Infinite Earths. DC published a four-issue limited series titled The Legend of Wonder Woman, which she was the artist on.
All right.
In the late 90s, she collaborated with Colleen Doran on the DC Comics graphic novel Wonder Woman, The Once and Future Story, on the subject of spousal abuse. And she's been writing the comic book adventures of Honey West, notable for being popular fiction's first female private detectives.
Very cool.
Yeah. her personal life is just as interesting as her professional affiliations. She was intimately involved in the 60s rock scene, and she was close friends with Jim Morrison and the Byrds.
Nice.
She is the first of three ladies in the canyon in the Joni Mitchell classic song of the same album, of the same name. And in the late 60s, she ran an East Village clothing boutique called Broccoli, and she made clothes for Mama Cass, Donovan, and David Crosby.
Hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. And she's got a memoir entitled Last Girl Standing, and it was released in 2017. So, unfortunately, not a big long box this year, which I do apologize for. But
it's good content, though.
Yeah. Trina Robbins is truly one of the badass women of comics. And don't you forget it.
Very cool. Very nice. All right. Well, that was a quick comic segment. Let's take a minute while Chad decides to finally weigh in, because I died because of inattentiveness. I was paying.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
I was paying very close attention to Justin. And oh, my God, there's like mushrooms everywhere. And now Chad's Mario in a stiletto.
Das Boot.
Das Boot, literally. Run, you plumber, run. Anyway.
Run, fat boy, run.
While he's doing that, just want to remind you, no matter when you're hearing this episode, you can still donate to the Extra Life campaign. It goes through December 31st. Of course, for most teams, their game day is November 2nd, I believe.
Yes.
But you can still donate all the way up till December 31st. And the money goes to a good cause. We've got a breakdown up on our Facebook page where the money goes, where every dollar goes. You can check Charity Navigator as well. And, you know, it's just a really cool charity that we all kind of feel like we have a personal stake in a little bit with the connection to CMN hospitals. Mm-hmm. My microphone just keeps slipping. It's like it wants my crotch to talk, and I'm not really sure why that is.
Microphone.
Sorry, Facebook.
Slipping.
And Twitch. What are you doing?
I'm watching your microphone.
Yeah.
Baby 100 is whatever the note was for Chad. How's Mario Maker treating you so far?
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
I don't hate it.
as is typically the case when it shifts from like Mario 1 to Mario 3 to Mario U to.
Yeah.
And back around. I'm just like, oh, crap.
This now level.
I need more than an A and a B.
This level from Chrissy Poo says just go. So just do that. I think you have to take that car.
Or not.
Chad's like, screw the car. I'm going myself. You can't stop me. You're not my mom. Anyone. So I guess, you know, that shows me I'm not his mom.
No, you're. To be fair, there is no woman on this earth like Chad's mom.
No, Chad's mom is the greatest person.
Fair point.
I love my mom to death.
Should we announce a prize winner?
Let's sure.
We probably should have, like.
Well, I mean,
almost 15 minutes ago.
They can wait. Let's go ahead and draw. Let's go ahead and draw for a prize. We are giving away prizes to random donors. All you have to do is donate anything. A dollar is enough. And that microphone keeps dropping on me. I don't know.
See if I can work on it.
Yeah, okay, thanks. So, donate a dollar and you qualify for any of a number of prizes. It doesn't matter if it's the Sega Genesis Mini, which we're giving away on Twitch toward the end of the 24 hours, or. You know, it could be a sketch from Justin if you donate $40 or more.
Yep.
He will draw.
That is an automatic guarantee. If you donate $40 or more and you're not anonymous and you want one,
you're getting one.
I will draw you your comic book or cartoon character of choice.
Yeah, you're getting one either way.
The blueprint.
Yes, Chad has decided that normally I exclude the Geek Cave members. But he made a donation on somebody's behalf. So this year he's getting a blueprint of one of Wile E. Coyote's infamous and often referenced and ultimately unusable schemes to collect to get the Roadrunner.
Yeah, so.
He hasn't told me which one, or I may just surprise him. I don't know.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm hoping you do is just surprise.
Oh, I just surprise you? Okay.
There are like 32 of them. Just.
Pick one. Okay.
Just pick one. All
pick
right.
Pick a good one.
Well, one of the prizes is a $25 Comixology gift card. because this is the comic segment, after all.
Well, for a few minutes anyway.
So, congratulations, Philip Morrison.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
Philip Morrison.
I know that guy.
just won a $25 Comixology gift card.
Did I make a movie about this guy?
I love you.
We have other prizes that we're going to be giving away during the marathon, including a physical copy of Dust and Elysian Tale, which is a limited run, not sold in stores, a $25 gift card to GameStop, and the grand prize, a Sega Genesis Mini. And by the way, if you win a physical item, you're also getting a Geek Cave t-shirt to go with it, just like what we're wearing. You can't see us on Twitch, but you can if you're watching on Facebook Live.
Ha-ha!
Uh-huh. They won't be the ones that we're wearing.
Or will they?
Well, I don't. Maybe. I don't know. How much did you donate?
How much do you like geek sweat?
So, dkpodcast.com/extra life to donate. And it's a fantastic cause. You really should support it. Should we just move on to the gaming segment?
Why not?
Let's just move on to the gaming segment,
let's
shall we?
The world.
I've done my part. Let's move on.
All right. So, Justin.
Darren.
Do you have anything for the gaming segment?
Why, no.
Chad.
I'm still playing Greedfall. For those of you who joined at 1 o'clock Central Time, you got to witness me playing that, and I'm going to say that it's still fun. It's not perfect, and if you're expecting it to be perfect, you will be sorely disappointed.
But it's still good, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Chad just straight up suicided. Just straight up nice, suicided. All right. I've got quite a few things.
All right. Actually, I do have something.
Oh, okay.
The last podcast, I said I was probably going to be purchasing Untitled Goose Game.
Yeah?
I did.
And how is it?
It's good.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to finish it yet, but that's because... What the heck? Sorry, it's my turn to play again.
He's going through a pipe.
Yeah. Haven't had a chance to finish the game yet, but it's amazing.
Yeah, I actually ended up buying it after our taping as well. And it's super fun. Definitely worth a try. In fact, if you are watching along on Twitch, you might see Goose Game pop up.
Oh, you will see Goose Game pop up because that's what I'm playing during my shift after Geek Cave Live.
So, is that it? Is that all you got?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay, cool. Well, hey, I'm glad you had something.
Yay!
I don't punish you the way that you punish Chad, so...
Holy!
That is a giant... That's a giant bullet.
Sorry
with,
for those eardrums I just blasted out. I was...
Giant bullet with cat ears.
Oh, good night.
Yeah, Justin, a reminder, we are in Super Mario Maker 2, and we're playing just random worlds in Course World online. These are levels that other people have made. We have no idea what's coming because it's all completely random, and it's part of our Extra Life Marathon for Children's Marital Network. So... We don't talk about politics on this podcast, and that is by design. It's because, you know, you can get political talk literally anywhere. But we do talk about certain things if it's...
Whoa!
Yeah, that's a fire-breathing cat Bowser. We do talk about certain things if it warrants it for, newsworthy reasons. Blizzard has come under fire recently, and Justin's dead. So now I have to talk about this. Justin, could you hold that like a teleprompter? Thank you, Vanna. So Blizzard has come under fire recently for the way they treated one or two of their bigger streamers. As you know, esports are huge right now. And a streamer named Blitzchun came out to complain online about how Hong Kong is being treated by China. It's during the whole pro-democracy protests over there. Blizzard banned his ass for a year from playing competitively and took away his winnings because I think he's from over there, but he's living in America. But they took away everything and they didn't say why. Of course, this is the internet we're talking about, so people found out why. And there are two different lines about it. One line is, well, Blizzard has a huge audience in China. Now, Blizzard, they're the makers of, I believe it's World of Warcraft, Hearthstone,
Diablo.
Diablo. And I need to beat Bowser. Okay. And also Overwatch. Lord. Overwatch. And this went down right before Overwatch launched on the Switch, and it was a pretty big deal. Now, people freaked out. In fact, Blizzard employees went on, I guess, like a nonverbal strike. I mean, someone even like covered up part of Blizzard's like mission statement that says that they always like welcome all voices. So it was, you know, it's kind of a big PR mess for Blizzard. They have since backed off a little bit. Now BlizzCon has only been suspended for like 6 months. And they say, oh, no, it had nothing to do with our business with China. It's just we don't want people talking about political things. And yet they've allowed this kind of thing in the past during streams.
Bullshit. Bullshit. Oh,
excuse yeah. me. Excuse
it's
me,
just
sorry.
For some reason, when you say China bad, that gets you on Blizzard's bad list. Well,
I guess we're on Blizzard's bad list.
Well, I mean, let's be fair.
China bad.
Yeah, I mean, let's be fair. China's not really treating Hong Kong all that well, if you've been following the news at all. So China bad. Hi, Blizzard.
Whoa, China bad.
Okay, so Stadia. This is something we've talked about recently. Uh-huh. Google's big streaming console that is out mid-November. And they've been talking about it for a while, and they're like, oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be future-proof. It's going to be ready. If you give us, like, $120, you get, like, this limited edition controller that'll be totally wireless. It'll work on all your devices. Okay, yeah, about that. It actually won't. The wireless controller won't actually be wireless until, like, maybe next year, unless you have a Chromecast. So, but... I mean, you know, it's not like they haven't promised other things before, except for the time that they promised that you'd have a library of games, but when they really meant just one, and it was Destiny 2. Or the time when they're like, yeah, I mean, you'll probably own your games. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe. Or the time they were super condescending when people were saying, but I like physical copies, and the Google rep is like, well, I like cassettes. Okay. So, and we're also hearing now that Google Stadia, as far as, because it's streaming only, there have been concerns about lag. And Google has come out and said, well, you know, we recognize there are going to be issues with lag, so we're working on technology to predict what button you're going to push. That's how they're going to get around the lag. They're going to try to predict what you're going to do.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Hell, even I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm playing a game.
Yeah, this has all of the earmark, and now Google apologists are saying, Google apologists, because that's a thing. But now Google apologists are saying that, well, you know, really, this is just like a beta. It's an early access. Stadia doesn't launch until next year. Really? Okay. One question, though. Why is it coming out November 19th then? So, yeah. Google says even then there's more. So if you pre-ordered, you paid $130 for the Founders Edition because you are in. This is the gaming future, and I want to be on the ground floor, and I paid my money, and you're not getting it at launch.
Because reasons.
Because they're not sure if they can deliver it in time. But you'll get it eventually. So, yeah. Google Stadia, the Deep Cave podcast, still kind of unsure about that. Probably because I'm not even sure it's going to be a thing. So,
but games are coming for it.
Sure. You know, the launch lineup includes Doom. Not the sequel. I mean, just Doom.
Yeah.
And a few other games that have been out for quite a while. So if you, I mean, it's like no other, it's like any other console launch. If you want to play old games, but on new hardware, or in this case, a Chromecast. Okay.
Sure, whatever.
Yeah. One more thing before I get to my review, and I almost died, but I didn't. That's because I'm awesome. Now I'm going to die because I talked crap. Oh, no. So far, so good.
No argument here.
Hey! Okay, so we finally know what the PS5 will probably cost. It's $500.
Yeah.
Is anyone really... I'm not surprised.
I don't know who's surprised by that.
Yeah.
I mean, at least it's not $600. Then I'd have to get another second job.
If you really want it, you'll pay. You'll get another job so you can pay that $599 American dollars. And so you can fight that crab.
That's
and
a lot of coins.
750 coins. All right.
So that's a lot of rupees.
Does anyone have any reviews or anything before we get to the pile of shame?
Sorry, no.
I already gave you my in-progress review.
I appreciated it, too. I'm glad that you're enjoying the Deuce game. In fact, this is not something I had in my notes, but something I feel like mentioning. There's now fan petitions to get the Deuce into Smash Brothers.
Yes. I've seen some of the mock-up artwork for that.
Yeah, people have come up with like control schemes and everything.
It's awesome.
It kind of works.
It does. And I, for one, will always choose the Goose.
I welcome my new Deuce Overlord.
Honk.
I can't wait for the Canadian Deuce DLC.
Honk. You know, okay.
It hisses, too. There'll be a hiss, you know. I have to collect 750 coins in this level. We're going to be here a while. But finally, I guess we can go ahead and get to the Pile of Shame review.
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
If you follow along our Twitch channel, which obviously if you're watching the marathon live, you are, we did a series called Spooky Streams because Halloween was coming up.
Ooh, scary.
And one of them was Bloodstained Ritual of the Night.
I like that stream.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Thank you. I try to make at least some good ones.
No. So, for example, like the KFC dating sim.
That was fun.
It was fun. It was interesting. It was weird. But it wasn't really that good a game.
No.
And so it didn't make for a really, like, a super compelling stream.
Yeah.
But the Bloodstained was a good stream, and it was a good game, too.
Yeah, so like. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night is a Metroidvania. Well, I want to get that coin. I got to get 750, and what you want to bet, there's like 751 coins in this room. Who counted these? Anyway, Bloodstained Ritual of the Night is a Metroidvania, Castlevania-type game. You play Miriam, who is a female... I'm not sure what type of person or creature she is. She can absorb these shards that'll give her powers of the demons that she defeats. And it's very by-the-book Castlevania, as in, go over here, find some hidden areas that you can't get to just yet, beat the boss, get a special weapon, go back, and do more exploring, you know, ad nauseum. But it's really done. It's really well done. The art style, I like the art style. I like the characters. There's a little bit of humor in there. The gameplay is fantastic. The controls are very responsive. I never feel like... It does have a little bit of that difficulty that comes with a Castlevania game, but when I die, I never feel like it's the game's fault, you know? Mm-hmm. I never feel like it's, oh, the programmers are just being idiots or like, you know, stupid lag or anything like that. No, it's entirely my fault. So they did a pretty good job on the balance there. The difficulty is just hard enough where it can be frustrating at times, but you keep coming back because you're like, oh, I almost got it, and I'll do it this time. And I love the dark kind of gothic art style that comes with a little bit of silliness as well, because you can equip Miriam with all types of gear, including bunny ears, including a pirate's hat.
Yar.
And a bunny scarf. A lot of bunny stuff, actually. You can use alchemy to create weapons or just food, like pizza.
Well, as you do.
Pizza, by the way, gives you not only refills your health, it also boosts your hit points for a certain amount of time.
And it lets you use Donatello again.
Yeah. Honestly, I would say if I had the power of alchemy, that is the first thing I'd create.
Yeah.
Pizza.
What would you give up to be able to do that?
Equal exchange.
I'd give up anchovies.
Yeah. Or...
sorry, folks.
Olives.
No more sauerkraut. Sorry.
No, this sauerkraut.
Can we include kimchi in that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Oh, while we're... that's pretty much it. I would just say, yeah, play this game. Be like me. It's available right now in Game Pass if you're in if you're on Xbox One. And Game Pass, by the way, is like $1 for the first month. You get access to 100 games. Not a bad deal. You can also get it from Gamefly, which is one of our fantastic sponsors, and they helped us out with a Gamefly gift subscription as part of this marathon. So thank you to Gamefly. Thank you to GameStop for their support. And BuzzTime. Not BuzzTime. Thank you to Shortosaurus. Thanks, BuzzTime, for supporting us as you did in the past. We hope to have you back. I do want to mention one more thing since we are talking about pizza. You've probably seen this in Walmart. These are the Arcade 1-Up home arcades.
Yep.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one is now available. And it includes the original arcade game as well as Turtles in Time.
Nice.
Let me just say, this is the second one that I've purchased. They come in what I would call IKEA mode. As in, you get a bunch of like slats of wood and the monitor and everything, and you just put it together and you're good to go. You don't get an Allen wrench. You just use a Phillips screwdriver.
Oh, nice.
But I will say the build quality is really good. I know that sometimes people are like hit or miss when it comes to these things. And I know that I've heard that their customer service is not the best. But if you get a good one, and I happen to get a good one, it turned out really well. The controls are solid. It's the exact experience that you expect, which is Turtles the arcade game and Turtles in Time. And the bonus is you don't have to worry about quarters. You know, just keep playing until you beat the game. And it's super fun. You can fit four people around it. They do smaller arcades, so I was a little worried.
I'm going to laugh my butt off. You go through here, and there's a big coin that says 750.
Nope. Aww. But I did finish that level in my segment. So
yeah.
So there we go.
Yeah. Only took 400 seconds.
Good for you. Good for you.
All right. So I think that's it for the gaming segment. We do want to remind you, you are listening to Geek Cave Live as part of the... Wow, it took me 2 minutes longer than, like, the fastest time, which is part of the Extra Life Marathon. For
you kept going back for that one coin that you missed.
Well, I wanted to make sure I got enough.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So part of Children's Miracle Network Marathon Extra Life, 50,000 gamers participate in this every year. We are glad that you are joining us on this ride. Thank you so much. We've already raised more than $2,100. We're not even halfway done.
Yeah.
That is amazing. We can't do any of this without you. Thank you so much. And if you are watching on Twitch, we do have a special challenge for you. And that is, share this video, share the post on Facebook, share it on social media, get the word out. And even if you don't donate to us, if you want to like raise money yourself, because we've had people reach out to us and say, well, I want to do this myself. By all means, please do so.
Yes.
Because it's really just about, you know, about helping kids.
Yeah, we don't see a dime of this, so
yeah.
Even if all we ever raised is $5, that's still $5 that goes towards helping kids.
Yeah, the money goes straight to Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, and I don't think I have to tell you that it's a good cause.
No.
So,
I mean, the reward, I mean, other than helping kids, this is another excuse for us to get together and have a fun weekend.
Yeah, which we were going to do anyway.
Yeah, but so. now we're, you know, having... You know,
now we're doing good, and
now we get good karma.
Yeah.
Now we're having fun. We're doing some good deeds. You know, it's all good. Everybody wins.
Especially the kids, because yes. This is all like tax. By the way, it's tax free, so like you can save that receipt, and you can get it deducted from your taxes. So the more the merrier, and no matter how much you donate, you qualify for one of our fantastic prizes, and that's because of some spectacular sponsors.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to shut up and let Chad do his thing. It's movie time.
All right.
Pizza time.
I guess we're welcome to the movie segment then. And we just got done talking about, well, we're not done talking about Extra Life, but we just concluded telling you about Extra Life. So I guess I'll make sure to remind you that we're brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing for your past. You can look rad today. GameStop, power to the player, and Gamefly, video games delivered. So, what news and or reviews do you have before I get started? Gentlemen?
To quote the great Spaceballs, man, I ain't got shit.
All right. Darren, you got something to
prepare for? I have quite a few things, actually.
You've got quite a few things.
Oh, sure, show me up.
Well, let's see it.
Okay. Crap! I'm in one of those like keep running levels. I got it. Oh, I missed. I got it. All right.
The happy little moon was not so happy.
Yeah. Okay. So Jared Leto.
Yeah.
People didn't really care for his turn on of Joker.
Well, it was. It was an interesting take.
Yeah, I think there were a lot of problems with Suicide.
I think it had as much to do with the direction as his interpretation. Yeah, but carry on.
But okay. So Joker with is it Joaquin? Is that how it's pronounced?
Joaquin. Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin.
Joaquin is now the highest grossing R-rated movie ever. It's doing really well
so far.
Well, so far, yeah.
Deadpool 3 has still got to come.
Fair enough. But as far as the time of this particular episode of the Deep Cave, highest grossing. And Jared Leto, when he found out they were doing a Joker movie, and this is according to internal reports, when he found out that someone was doing a Joker movie and it was without him, he actually, according to, again, numerous reports, tried to have the movie killed.
Of course.
Telling his agent, you've got to stop this.
What?
Well, I don't know. They didn't stop it. So, you know, that's a thing. A source in Leto's camp, of course, denies that the actor made the request. But the Hollywood Reporter reports that, you know, basically Leto felt that Warner Brothers strung him along with promises of a Joker standalone film, which, of course, as you know, did materialize, but not with him in the role. Because, A, it was an origin story. His Joker had already been established. And, B, I hear Phoenix's Joker movie is really good.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. We could talk a little bit about Francis Ford Coppola and Martin Scorsese.
That's not, though.
Yeah, no. I don't really want to. We pretty much know everything we need to know about how they feel.
They're old white men.
Yeah. So we're close to middle-aged white men, but it's different.
Yes.
We also don't tend to be buttheads about people's art.
Yeah. Wow, I don't like this level. All right, anyway. So yeah, that's all I had was that, you know, they hate Marvel films. And Jon Favreau is like, dude, calm down. Oh, reach the goal of spiny Mario. Okay.
Oh, yay.
Oh, no, I just killed all the spinies. Well, bollocks.
Make it hard.
All right, I can just go back. So that's all I got.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Now I can't get out.
Oh.
Okay, then.
Okay,
Lori,
we'll figure
you got
it out.
Anything?
Yep, I'm good.
All right. So to add to Mattel's upcoming movie lineup that includes Barbie, starring Margot Robbie, and a live-action Hot Wheels movie, Mattel Films is partnering up with Valparaiso and actor Daniel Kaluuya's 59% banner to create a live-action Barney movie.
Oh, good.
So, the purple dinosaur's back to love on us and presumably get us to love on him in a way that can only be described as completely innocent and void of troubling innuendo. So, in 1977, a TV special was made based on a children's book by Russell Hoban. That special was called Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Yes.
That book may be given new life by Flight of the Conchords singer and songwriter Brett McKenzie.
Okay.
The story follows a poor otter family who risk everything for the chance to win the cash prize at a talent contest. But whether it's picked up or not is right now anyone's guess. I mean, it's just one of those where, hey, you willing to try and write this? Yeah, all right. Kind of thing. But considering that McKenzie is responsible for the 2011 Muppet movie Academy Award for the song Man or Muppet, and wrote all the songs for the second, you know, Muppets Most Wanted.
Yeah.
Probably the right fit.
Probably.
You know, really. So in their continuing effort to gain all the monies and finally win capitalism, Disney's announced some documentary titles are going to be available for their streaming platform. Including the untitled Mickey Mouse documentary, looking at Mickey's deeper significance and cultural impact. Wolfgang, which what I thought was going to be about Mozart, was instead going to be focused on the life and work of Wolfgang Puck, the chef. And the first episode for Marvel's 616 is Higher, Further, Faster, which is supposed to shine a light on the trailblazing women of Marvel Comics.
Okay.
So there is that. What was the other thing here? Oh, this is interesting to me because Disney is also putting into the vault a bunch of Fox movies. Since they acquired Fox, they're basically taking Fox movies and not allowing them for for-profit theaters. So a theater wants to run an old movie, they typically they apply and get it, and it's done.
I hate this level.
So now, move on.
Now typically when Disney would put something in the vault, they would pull its release from everything. Now, I mean, this doesn't prevent you from buying it or on any streaming services. It's just exactly like you said.
Yeah, yep. This is right now it's for theaters. Now, whether it stays that way is anyone's guess. So, anyway, Disney Plus is also putting some sand under Hocus Pocus 2 for some traction. Writer Jen D'Angelo has been given the reins to pen the sequel with the not insignificant task of finding a way to bring back Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy, who, spoiler alert, kind of exploded at the end of the first movie. So, for me, Hocus Pocus is one of those movies that should stay a cult classic.
Yeah.
And just one of those things where you kind of you bring it out when your kids are like 10 or 11 years old and you're just like, okay, this is corny, but I like it, so we're going to watch it as a family.
Yes.
And when you have questions, just make sure you ask me and not your friends on the playground.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, HBO is throwing their hat into the ring for our dollars and even more with an order for 4 1-hour Adventure Time specials.
Darren died 1 second, and that's a new record.
Why am I so... Here, you do this. About to say, I've died a few times. Why am I still doing this?
Because I'm holding my...
Yeah, computer. I know. I'm not going to hand it to you, yeah.
Yeah, apparently...
I got to hand it to you, Chad.
I'm special.
Well, I don't want to, like... You want me to hand it to you?
No.
Okay.
So, Adventure Time, collectively titled The Adventure Time Distant Lands, the specials are picking back up with Finn and Jake going on their way.
You got to be on solid ground, but then just hit the right trigger. There you go.
Yay. Paul Rudd has a, quote, comedy, end quote, on Netflix now called Living With Yourself. The hook is that Rudd's character is, like, super apathetic about life for reasons that they don't get into. And he then hears about a spa treatment that can turn his life around. He wakes up buried in the forest. When he finally gets home, he comes face to face with a more attentive, happier, more joyful version of himself. That version is better for his wife, better at his job, and seemingly better at just about everything else except being original. Hilarity could ensue if the show didn't take itself so dang seriously. Really, after the first couple of episodes, the whole series is just sad hour, man.
Yeesh.
Give it a pass unless you really like Paul Rudd. Another one that it pains me to say give a pass, well, not give a pass, but go into more cautiously than usual, is Big Mouth Season 3. I watched it, and I don't think I'm recommending it right now. It could be that I marathoned the thing, and so I just missed... What was important or good or right about it. But as it stands, I think maybe I was just expecting something that it couldn't give me. Either way, same cautions apply as usual. Don't watch with your kids unless your kids are well past puberty. You know, this is a very distracting level.
There were hundreds of invincibility stars.
It's just all over the place, man.
I know, crazy. And now I'm stuck.
Oh, just keep tapping the jump button to swim up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I was.
There you go.
So, otherwise, and things that I've got in my, that I had in my inbox, I watched Io this past month.
Okay.
It's the kind of sci-fi movie I like.
Aww.
There's not a ton of characters. There's very little by way of political drama. It's more about trying to survive in a world that isn't safe. And it's not that because there are criminals and ruffians and zombies and so forth, but the world itself is unsafe. The below a certain point of elevation, the air is mostly made up of ammonia.
Oh, jeez.
So it's, you know. Anyway, most of humanity took to the stars after mucking the Earth, and the few that stayed behind try to make their way, but the space station, which is orbiting Jupiter's moon Io, hence the name, is about to embark on a quest for a new planet, so any survivors on Earth that want to get out, they have to do it now. It's a kind of a slow burn, and you could watch this one while folding the laundry. You know, this is one of those movies you could do some sewing.
Wait, what's that?
Laundry?
Well, that and the other thing.
Folding?
No, the
S,
sewing?
Yeah, what's that?
Never mind. you usually do it after lawing. Or before lawing. After fawing. Anyway.
Misogynistic humor.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. I'm going to play Mario now.
Yeah.
It's a solid story. It's pretty nice. It's got some ideas that it doesn't flesh out well enough, which may raise the particular criticism of it being uninspired. I think that it just didn't feel a need to tell you every last little thing about the world and let you figure some of it out yourself.
For those of you following along, Justin is in Bowser's castle and has to find a propeller suit and finish the level with that propeller suit. Carry on.
Okay.
I was just explaining the very quiet "oh God" while you were talking.
Yeah. So I am ready for my random movie review, if you all are.
Yeah.
All right.
And now it's time for Chad Savage's random movie review.
Sorry, that was a that sigh seemed a bit incredulous for.
Oh boy, that thing has wings.
And I gotta go which way?
Yeah, grab that key. Ah!
So,
I think you have to be
Chad.
So, for this month, the random review sent me to a French stop-motion film called My Life as a Zucchini.
Okay, that sounds charming.
French film, and Zucchini is just kind of his nickname. But it begins with a child killing his mother. Okay, that's a bit much. Zucchini is the kid. He's playing in the attic of his house when he accidentally knocks over a bunch of his mother's beer cans that he's stacked together as a pyramid. And when his mother comes up to punish him, he panics and shuts the attic's door, which hits her head and she falls down the steps and is killed. So after that, because his dad is never in the picture, he's sent to an orphanage where he's picked on by one of the older kids until he stands up for himself. And after a short while, they kind of form their own type of family unit.
Okay.
And eventually a new kid comes in and Zucchini becomes just enamored by this one. It's like he sees himself, I guess, in her. They connect and eventually they come to depend on each other. And another connection. So and that's kind of how they get through the day-to-day stuff. Now, another connection that Zucchini makes is with the police officer that took him to the orphanage in the first place after the death, because they form a familial bond that seems to give both of them a bit of purpose. So, this is one of those movies that I'm glad that I watched. It's well thought out. It's well put together. It's well paced. It has something to say about connection and pain and family. And I don't think I'm ever going to watch it again. This is one of those rare movies that I think is good and should be seen, but I'm having trouble recommending it because it is so deeply depressing and emotionally wearing. It ends hopefully, but you go through a ringer to get to it. So typically, you get to be like me, you don't get to be like me, or you see it with friends today. Option 4. I don't know what option 4 is, but that's what we're calling it.
It's classified. You'll have to ask Dick Jones at OCP.
So, I look forward to hearing if those of you who are on Facebook Live or those of you who are
option
on the Twitch,
4, don't see it with friends.
Oh, I should have done that with Gaspar's love. Anyway, if that's all we got for right now, don't forget there is still plenty of time for you to donate for Extra Life. All the money raised goes to Children's Miracle Network. Any amount given, make sure that you get entered in for the prizes.
If you want to remain anonymous, you can. If you give us your name.
If you give us your name, you get entered for the prizes.
Yes.
Any amount over $40 and at your request, we'll get a personalized sketch from Justin.
Yep.
And, you know, stick around. We're going to be switching over to Jackbox here in a little bit.
Yeah, I think actually it's about time to switch over to Jackbox because we've been going for a little while.
So we'll pop into Jackbox here in probably the next 5 or so minutes. So head on over to Twitch TV, look up Geek Cave Podcast. We're right there.
Yep. Or just go to any of our social media channels and you can find the link there.
Yep. Or you can even go to any of our Extra Life pages and find it right there too.
Yeah.
So that's that. So for Kent Harris, who has won every Kent Harris lookalike contest ever held, even when he wasn't playing, our award-winning broadcaster, Darren Wright.
Yay!
Justin White, who has won all of our hearts.
Aww.
I'm Chad Savage, whose participant trophy is still in the mail. I hope.
Wow.
So thanks for listening, and remember, everyone is a geek for something.
Your local children's hospital is full of superheroes. Superhero patients. They wear gowns instead of capes and often fight evil on a microscopic level. And just like the doctors, nurses, and staff, you can help decimate illnesses and enemy foes for sick and injured children by gaming. Join Extra Life, a community of 50,000 gamers that play games and heal kids. Register at extra-life.org.